This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, what up? Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. That's Dan Beyer. Jay Stu is off the IRDL, whatever, and he's back producing. We got my man Chris Perfett on the ones and twos. Happy New Year to you. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. The vehicles are all electric. The feelings all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS. I'm sure. Like, here's the good thing. Like, I don't have to say, hey, be safe on New Year's. You know, avoid all the nonsense, whatever. Because if you're listening to the show, if you're on the West Coast, you know, hopefully you're up and you're going to work, you're out and about, as they say. Or if you're on the East Coast, like, you've made it. We're here, 2024. I will point this out about all the great feelings and thoughts of the new year and how fresh it feels, Dan. I should point out it's an election year, which means it's going to be a complete poop show from about, I don't know what, September until November, and then, as we saw last time, maybe even through January. So good news is we got about like 6-7 months to really enjoy it. And 2024, we are here. Man, we haven't talked about the Broncos and the quarterback change and Russell Wilson. I don't know, we don't have time really to talk about the NBA. Let's pocket Bowl talk for about 15 minutes. We got to get ready for tonight's doubleheader. Of course, the Rose Bowl, which was really destroyed by conference realignment because there's no more Pac-10 or Pac-12, so there can be no more Pac-10. But they could have had, I would have still done the Pac-12 Big Ten one last time, but instead we have Michigan, Alabama, and then we have Washington, which I think we are... People are dying off with the whole Washington idea. Remember people say Washington for a long time?
Yeah, I don't hear much anymore.
It's gone away, thankfully. But we have Washington or Washington taking on Texas in the nightcap. But can we take a second and go, hey, was Football America wrong, Dan Beyer, about Jordan Love? Is he a dude?
Sure looked like it the last couple of weeks. Just picking apart the Vikings. The Vikings... I have no idea what was happening with their quarterback position. I thought maybe they thought Jaren Hall was their quarterback of the future. That lasted about a half. And Jordan Love looked magnificent last night. And it's so funny because the Packers are basically in the same situation that they were a year ago entering week 17. So now it's Jordan Love's opportunity to maybe right or wrong that Aaron Rodgers couldn't do last year when the Packers couldn't beat the Lions. Packers just have to beat the Bears at home, which is now easier said than done, considering how well Chicago's playing.
And then you take into next year, right, where they have a bevy of draft picks, Aaron Rodgers' money comes off their books, and Jordan Love's playing for, what, like $8 million next year? I mean, obviously their thoughts are, I can imagine if we make the playoffs, but think about what they're setting themselves potentially up for. And David Bakhtiari's money probably comes off next year as well. It feels like he won't play football anymore, unfortunately, because of that knee. But it's crazy the position that the Packers appear to be in.
And by the way, their defense completely in shambles. May not have been shown last night, but Packer Nation has been wanting Joe Barry to be gone.
Yes.
For a long, long time. And so doing this without a defense that I think that they relied on or wanted to rely on earlier and haven't been able to do it, this young receiving corps stepping up. But yeah, Jordan Love just may actually be that guy.
It's insane. What did you think about the Broncos? What was your, I know you had your show yesterday. What did you think about the Broncos deal?
There's a lot there. I thought that Sean Payton got a lot of heat, Doug, but Jared Stidham wasn't much different than Russell Wilson yesterday. And so the whole, we're trying to win number eight and he's the guy that we need, I think that's all baloney.
Of course. Once they were out of the playoffs, they want to be out of the Russell Wilson business. I mean, look, and I can tell you what I've been told by some people in Denver, that Sean, he's frustrated that Russell doesn't process nearly as fast as one would think based upon his experience and his, normal level of intelligence. I mean, he seems like a super bright guy, but he doesn't think he processes well. He doesn't see the middle of the field. And, as much as we like to compare Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, the only thing that's comparable is their size. The style of play is very different. And a guy who, made his living out of the pocket with a great and accurate arm and also a very good athlete. He's not as athletic and his arm isn't as good. And he doesn't really run the offense the way in which Sean Payton wants to run it. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's checking out of plays that Sean Payton wants run. So I think... if we track back to when Sean Payton originally turned down the job, right? I mean, he obviously wanted the Chargers job. I mean, that was pretty obvious. It doesn't get that spread in the media. Oh, he could be, unless Sean Payton wanted that job. When he didn't get it, and the reason he wanted it was he liked the quarterback better than he liked the quarterback in Denver. And remember, there was a while they could not hire a coach. How many people turned the Broncos down? Three or four guys turned the Broncos down. And we could say it was about ownership, whatever. It feels like it was about Russell Wilson. And I'm sure he only took that job with the, hey, listen, I'm going to take this job. But if I want to get rid of what Russell Wilson, it doesn't work. I want autonomy. I want to be able to do that. And once they're out of the playoffs, that's what he did. And I think that it's going to be fascinating because everyone thinks, well, the Steelers, who, by the way, we haven't even talked about the Steelers, right? Mason Rudolph. Just solid quarterback play. Suddenly they look like a playoff team. They're above 500 yet again. We know that Mike Tomlin record. But everyone thinks, these Atlanta and the Steelers, and they're going to go after Russell Wilson. But how many teams have acquired a quarterback on his third team who his previous team or two thought he was kind of washed? How often does that actually work out? How often does that work out? Go ahead, Jay Stu.
What did you make of how everything played out last week, though, with Russ? For the first time in quite some time, Russell Wilson was a sympathetic figure in how that whole thing played out. And that was, by the way, by design, very well orchestrated. As soon as the Broncos said that Russell Wilson wasn't going to start, the PR campaign from his camp started, and I think it worked. Because for a while there, we're thinking, man, the Broncos are a bunch of jerks. Like, who interferes with a season like this by going to him with his contract demand? And where did you come out on that? Who won the week?
Well, I mean, I've just been led to believe by people in the NFL that, kind of like you said, everything is inauthentic with Russell Wilson. It's a lot like Sean Payton said. He likes to kiss babies. He's a senatorial candidate. And I think that Sean Payton wants to win football games. And if he thought that Russell Wilson can win him football games, he'd still be the quarterback. Find a way to work it out. Find a way to work it out. And I understand. And to people who are like, well, the NFLPA needs to get involved. What are you talking about? This is a negotiated clause in a contract. I mean, and if you can find a way around the clause, you find a way around the clause. And by the way, if Russell Wilson is really at the level that the PR campaign would lead you to believe, that money's out there, right? He'll get his, $39 million? He'll get cut, and then he'll get a new contract. If he gets a new contract in the $20 million, $30 million a year variety, which is, you know, below that of the top guys making 50, well, then somebody's going to bet that the Broncos were wrong. The likelihood is that he doesn't get a big contract, and then he's got to do a prove-it contract, and those usually don't do well either. So where I came out as Russ being Russ. You know, people are like, man, this is just so gut-wrenching to hear Russell Wilson. Like, dude, stop. This has been Russell Wilson his whole career. He's an amazing politician. An amazing politician. But the guys that know, like, again, those Seahawks dudes, those are real guys. Those are real dudes. And they've always rolled their eyes at Russ. So it's just Russ being Russ, Dan.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when this news kind of came out on Wednesday, because it wasn't official until later in the afternoon, but was, building up with the reports, it just kind of dawned on me that it felt like Sean Payton was hired to do this to Russell Wilson. That he was the one, because there are very few coaches that can do what Sean Payton did. And I'm not talking about berate him on the sidelines. I'm just talking about benching him, period, and doing it this soon into the contract. And, you know, Doug, considering how long this has been going on, it lends to the fact that I think that that's why one of the reasons why the Broncos hired him even more so is this has been going on for 2 months now, this back and forth. And now for Payton to finally pull the trigger. And again, Jared Stidham was no different than Russell Wilson was, maybe a little bit worse than Russell Wilson was in yesterday's win. But I just think in the end, like, when you look at the Payton hiring, he wanted to go to the Chargers, that didn't happen. Right. Cowboys, we've always connected, that didn't happen. Wasn't going to happen. So there's Denver, and Denver's probably like, you know what, we've got this albatross of a contract with a quarterback that now hasn't played well in two consecutive seasons. What are we going to do about this? Sean Payton's the only guy that can do that.
Yeah, and I don't think he would have taken the job unless he had it like, hey, man, if I want to get rid of Russell Wilson, I'm going to get rid of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you're 100%.
Yeah. I mean, for people who don't think that's right or that's fair, listen, I've said this on our show, on my show, as you know, Dan, you're part of it. Okay, I've said it on other shows. This is a lot like the coaching hiring and the quarterback decision. Do I think that other factors, whether it's race or other things, have come into play in the past and hiring of coaches and quarterbacks? You want to go back 30, 40 years? Sure. Can't deny that. But as Sean Payton said, this is what every person in the NFL I've ever talked to is like, the only thing that matters is if we can win. Right? That's the beauty to professional football, is literally the only thing that matters. Grades don't matter. Mom and dad doesn't matter. Feelings don't matter. Nothing matters. Can we win football games? Because if we win, everybody gets to get paid. And everybody, no one has to move their family again. You know? So if you think a decision was made based upon, well, he doesn't like him. He may not like him. If he thought he could win football games with him, he'd still be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
And Russ has been taking so much heat, Doug, for however long, this turnaround that the Broncos had midseason, I think it was maybe more about their defense than it was their offense. And so then all of a sudden now, there seems to be this groundswell of support for Russell Wilson because they don't like how Sean Payton handled it or the Broncos handled it. But it's also like, well, why would they want to be on the hook for an extra $40 million if they don't have to? The writing's on the wall. Like, all of that makes sense. And, well, it was handled poorly. Well, Russell's a big boy. You know, like, yeah, we're all adults here, right? He can handle it.
Listen, if you don't like an injury clause in a contract, don't put an injury clause in a contract. Remember, Russell Wilson, his whole deal was, the reason Seattle was ready to move on was he wanted a big new contract. They didn't want to give it to him. Right? They didn't want to give it to him. And Denver took him because the quarterback they wanted, Aaron Rodgers, agreed to a new deal in Green Bay and stayed there for another year. So they had Nathaniel Hackett, like, this will work. It was a disaster. A disaster. And sure, Hackett looked completely overwhelmed as head coach, but so did Russell Wilson as a player. But if you don't like the, like, don't be complaining about the contract after the contract, the ink has been dry for a year and a half. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Sure.
And to people who are like, what is the NFLPA? The NFLPA has done a magnificent job in their PR of making it seem like the owners are the big bad wolf, right? Like when they save, if they save this money, somehow they're going to put it in their pockets. That team is owned by Walmart money. Do you think they care for 1 second about saving? No. What they care about is all that money and how it affects their cap. That's what they care about. If a GM saves some money, that money doesn't go in the GM's pocket. It goes back into the pool. So they go to get a better team. Right? Because when you get a better team, then you win more games. You win more games. You get a new contract. You get to stay gainfully employed. And you don't have to go find a new house for your wife, a new town, a new school for your kids. It's pretty obvious stuff here. Like, we're massively making about something that it's not. So does he love Russell Wilson? Like, no. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that's the second or third head coach that probably rolls their eyes at the whole Russell Wilson thing. You know, it just is. But again, I think this is purely performance-based. Is the contract an albatross, as you said? Absolutely. But we have this thing where we think, you know, the NFLPA has done a great job, that the owners, well, they don't have guaranteed contracts. Yes, they do. They are absolutely guaranteed contracts. They may not be fully guaranteed. Why would you fully guarantee a contract? How's that working out for Deshaun Watson? You know? I mean, even Kirk Cousins, who's had a magnificent statistical run in Minnesota, like, dude's out with an Achilles tendon tear. He's got fully guaranteed contract. Like, these things, it's not a sport where you want a fully guaranteed contract for more than 2 years. It's just not. Guys fall off. Guys get hurt. Things change. Systems change. Whatever. But people really believe in the world that when owners or GMs, you know, cut a guy or save money they put in their pocket, it's not true. They believe they don't have guaranteed contracts. It's also not true. It's just in terms of the length and the years and the money. You know, and we had this with running backs to start the year. Like, oh, man, these running backs are just like, okay, so tell me the highly paid running back who's lived up to their contract. Maybe Christian McCaffrey is the guy. And even Christian McCaffrey's missed time. And as we pointed out, like, the Carolina contract was awful. He didn't get hurt the first 3 years, signs an extension, couldn't stay healthy. And he's the best running back in the NFL. He's the outlier. You know, Derrick Henry feels like he's over the hill. I can't play that way anymore. And then pick out all these other guys that have big contracts. I mean, Indy was like, we're not giving our running back a new contract. They give the running back a new contract. He can't get on the field and stay healthy. What are we doing? We have this, I continue to believe that our American society, we have a massive issue with anyone who we feel like is an authority. We feel like there's something nefarious at work. Hey, somebody's got to be in charge. And there's got to be some sort of rules to this thing. And if Russell Wilson didn't like the contract, he shouldn't have signed the contract. But he did. Dan Beyer, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes. Coming up next in the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Bowl season has been, to say a mess, it's like walking into your child's room and there's stuff everywhere and going, it's a little messy. But could tonight save it? We'll discuss next.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
Good morning to you. It's Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. With Dan Byer, I'm Doug Gottlieb, Jason Stewart, our esteemed producer, and of course, Chris Perfett and the ones and twos. We're all wishing you a very happy new year. Does feel like Happy New Year is the one holiday, Dan Byer, that violates the Price is Right code, right, where you can't go over? You can't, like, you still have, like, you get, like, a week over.
Yeah, yes.
So, Happy New Year to you. And New Year's Day, which used to be the greatest celebration of college football ever, still has a lot of football and two great games, I think great games tonight, but what's led up to it has been a mess. Like,
You're right. I agree wholeheartedly.
Let me just do a. We'll welcome in Brett McMurphy. Brett McMurphy joins us, College Football Insider with Action Network, and Brett. By the way, I'm broadcasting actually from our alma mater. Dan is a huge Ohio State fan, and we're all college football fans here. I've never liked the opt-out thing anyway. I understand professional football. I know there have been a handful of bowl injuries. I do understand that there's a uniqueness, especially to the running back position, where a guy can get hurt. What we have now with the portal opening before bowl season's over, and of course, you know, you got to do the early enrollment if you want to transfer. Really, it's about portal, which everybody blames the portal. It's not the portal. It's the fact that so because you can play right away, you want to transfer right away so you can play spring football. You got to enroll right away, right? That's the whole logic behind it. But, I mean, this is such a bunch of crap, you know? you play your – because 95% of these seniors are literally never going to put on a helmet and shoulder pads ever again. And you're on their team. We're told this is the greatest team sport ever. And it's the most selfish move. And I understand there's a certain level of, hey, your business. I got it. But if we're making them professionals by paying them, why are we paying them for not completing the task? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's awful. It's a mess. And people can say, idiots who have no bowl game experience, have never dealt with it, never had no idea. They're like, well, they've always been meaningless games. They've always been meaningless games. But it's a celebration of a quality season with your brothers that you've spent 4 or 5 years with, or at least since August with. Can you find any sort of sunshine in what we've seen so far in bowl season?
Happy New Year to you too, Doug. well, when you put it that way, you know, bowls have drastically changed, but college football has totally changed. So it's like everything's changed involving college football. And now, you know, I understand what you're saying. So we want bowls to remain the same, but yet everything else around it has changed. That's impossible. I'm here in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl today. I was talking with some folks the past few days just about, you know, what's going on in college football. And, you know, we talked about the 12-team playoff starting next year, which everyone's looking forward to. Some people think it'll devalue the regular season. To some point, but it's still not going to just diminish the games that go on during the regular season. But somebody mentioned, you know, that the old, you know, great coaches, the Bear Bryants, the Paternos, et cetera, they could go 9-2 and win a bowl game. That would be a great season. Why? Because college football was regionalized. You just needed to be good in your region. You just needed to basically win your conference. And that was enough. That's not enough anymore. You not only have to win your conference, then you have to go to the playoff, and then you have to win the playoff. And if you don't do that, 132 teams are not satisfied, and only one team is satisfied. And you kind of look at, you know, Ryan Day, has had great deal of success at Ohio State. If he had that same success at Ohio State 10 years ago, they'd be celebrating him. But because it's in the playoff era, also, he hasn't beat his rival. People are questioning how successful he is. Kirby Smart off back-to-back national titles and then wins a, you know, non-playoff bowl. It would, by some, would be considered a down season at Georgia. Nick Saban told this story a few years ago, the year they lost, maybe in the kick six to Auburn. I forgot what year it was, but during the summer, he's with his wife. They're at a little diner. They take a picture with this older couple. And as they take the picture, the older lady says, "Don't worry, coach. It'll be better next year." And he thought to himself, "We lost one freaking game. You know, the expectations are just through the roof." But with the bowl set up, with all the opt-outs, there's got to be drastic changes. People have recommended moving the bowl games to before the season, have better caliber matchups, letting the bowls pick whatever teams they want throughout conference tie-ins. I'm not sure how that would work, but it's just a new era, and we've just got to get used to it. And that's not going to – I don't know if I solved any of your problems. I'm sure I didn't, but – I'm afraid it's just going to get worse. We're probably going to lose some bowl games, I think, with the 12-team playoff, because I don't think you'll be able to fill all these games. And I think we're going to get to the point, I had bowl directors tell me this year, they were afraid that teams would opt out after accepting a bid, say, we don't have enough players. We certainly didn't get to that point. I think we got close. You saw Oregon State. You know, you saw how depleted Florida State was. That's not good for the bowl system.
Let's actually talk about the games, because that's another point of this, is that the bowls have given no build up to what we're going to have today. You said you're in Pasadena. Is it odd that we're only just talking about Jim Harbaugh possibly going to the NFL? Does that help Michigan today against Alabama as they're about to play at the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, well, I think obviously Michigan's a unique story with all the stuff going on with the NCAA, with the sign stealing, with Harbaugh, you know, polarizing figure, suspended basically half the season. And here they are in the playoff, third straight year they're in the playoff. Michigan's lost six consecutive bowl games. They have not done well in the playoff. That's going to be a focal point of this game. I keep going back and forth on this, on who I think actually is going to is going to win this thing. My heart tells me it's going to be Alabama. You don't bet against Saban when he's an underdog, a rare underdog, against a team not named Georgia or not named Clemson. But I just think, for some reason, I think Michigan's a little bit better. I think the key is going to be if Michigan can shut down Alabama's running game and force Jalen Milroe to beat them, I think they'll be able to win this game. But it's going to be fascinating because the storyline, win or lose, is this Harbaugh's final year in the NCAA? Does he move on to the NFL?
What do you think?
Doug, I thought before the season this would be his final year at Michigan, and that was before kind of everything hit the fan. But again, it takes two to tango. You know, is there an NFL team out there that wants him? If there is, I think it's probably likely. This is not, you know, inside. No sources are telling me. It's just my opinion. I believe this would be his last year. You know, I think by the time the NCAA makes a decision on whatever penalties they are with the Michigan program, that Harbaugh will probably be in his second year coaching an NFL franchise somewhere.
When you look at what's happening in New Orleans, Texas and Washington, we know Washington's great season in the Pac-12, but no one is talking about this matchup. Texas, obviously, the huge win against Alabama earlier this season. How do you think it plays out tonight in New Orleans?
Yeah, I actually think Texas will win this game. I'm actually picking Texas to win the national title. I think because they were in the Big 12, I think they've kind of been overlooked nationally. They were kind of forgotten about. Even with the win against Alabama when they lost to Oklahoma, I think they were kind of an afterthought. And I just think they're the best, most balanced team in the field. With Tavondre Sweat at defensive tackle, I think that will limit Washington's running game. And if Washington is not able to run against Texas, a lot of people have not been able to run against Texas, that will allow Texas's secondary to maybe play eight back and make Penix kind of dink and dump it up the field against them. I don't know if they can sustain that the entire game. And the other thing with Washington, you know, you look at the two games against Oregon, middle of the season, at the end of the season, Washington was dynamic. They beat Oregon both games. But Washington went from being over a touchdown underdog against Oregon, and now they're basically a field goal underdog to Texas. I mean, I don't know what really changed there. And you look at the six games between those two games against Oregon, Washington looked very pedestrian. They won all six games by 10 points or less against some teams they should have had no trouble with: Arizona State, Washington State, Stanford. So I just think Texas is more balanced. I think Texas can win without Quinn Ewers having its A game. Washington cannot win without Michael Penix having his A-plus game.
I agree. I mean, and if you've, for anybody who's seen Texas in person, you're like, wow, that looks different. Now, they've been impressive in years past, but this is, you know, they spent a lot of money, and they kept most of their dudes, and then they got Quinn Ewers back as well, and like it's a, the loss to Oklahoma, what happens is I think a lot of people forget they should have won that game, right? They got cute.
Yeah,
and should have won that game, and it would be a completely different narrative about it. Now, also could have lost to K-State at home as well. So there is, they've thrown up some stinkers there, even with yours as quarterback. It's absolutely going to be fascinating. What about Nick Saban? And there were, I was even of the thought about midseason, like, maybe he moves on from this, right? Because he hadn't figured out the quarterback thing, the transfer portal thing. It's like they used to be able to stack guys three deep and do their thing. Now it's changed. Does this year reinvigorate Nick Saban so that we get more years than we thought possible?
You know, it's funny, Doug. I've, you know, there's been speculation out there. Oh, is Saban going to go off into the sunset after this year? You know, I've talked to people here this week, and you know, some people have said that, you know, he has been kind of different to those that are close to him in the program. In some way. But then I talked to other people on the staff, and they're like, he's given us no indication. This is it. The dude just wants to coach football. And I know that from talking to a lot of people close to him. He wants to coach football. He does not want to go work for TV. He does not want to go play golf every day. He does not want to go sit around his house every day. He wants to coach football 364 and a half days a year, probably 365 days a year. I don't know what else he would do if he's not coaching football. As long as he's successful and he continues to be successful, I think he'll continue to coach for a long time. Obviously, it's a personal choice, but Doug, I don't even think it's, you know, that this ignited a spark that was lost this year. I think he's really enjoying this, and he talked about it the other day. You know, people, kind of the opposite rat poison. People were doubting Alabama for the first time in a long time, and they surprised folks. They weren't supposed to be here. They weren't supposed to make the playoff. They weren't supposed to win the SEC. Yet they've kind of taken the haters, if you will, and used it as incentive. And that's something they haven't been able to do in a long, long time. I think he's enjoyed this role because he's always been the favorite. He's always been the hunted. This year they're kind of the hunter, and he likes that. But Doug, I don't think he's going to stop coaching for quite some time, as long as his health's there and as long as he's a contender in the playoff. And if you're going from a 4-team playoff to a 12-team playoff that they've basically made every year, he's going to be a lock to make that playoff. So I think he'll be with us for a while.
Last one for me. Bowls don't matter, but it sure seemed to matter to Ryan Day at Ohio State on Friday for how bad that turned out against Missouri. Seemingly at some sort of crossroads, what do you think happens? Ryan Day's going to stay, but do you see a shakeup on his staff at all? What changes do you see in Columbus?
No, I mean, they were down to the third string quarterback. Their offensive MVP wasn't playing. I mean, I talked to Chris Jenkins, Michigan's defensive tackle, and asked him if he watched the Cotton Bowl, and he said, yeah. And he said, that's not the team we faced, you know, in November. And he said, even though, you know, I'm a hater and they're the rivals, he goes, I even felt bad for them. You know, that wasn't the team. They've got to figure out something at quarterback. I mean, they've got talent everywhere all over the field. They were depleted, you know. I mean, not to the extent of Florida State, but that was not the same team that played all season. I don't think there's going to be a massive overhaul. You may see some tweaks here or there, but I don't think one game without, your top two quarterbacks and without your entire offense and Marvin Harrison is going to cause a massive overhaul. But they do have to find an answer at quarterback.
Well, Brett, enjoy the Rose Bowl, even though we killed the Rose Bowl, right? There's no more Pac-12, so there's no more real Rose Bowl, but there is a game at the Rose Bowl, which is just an iconic spot, and of course it starts at 5 Eastern. Can't wait to read and hear your work on it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
That's my guy, Brett McMurphy. He's an Oklahoma State alum as well, and like this is the perfect example. When Texas A&M was in the Big 12, it's always fun to be Texas A&M because they spend like three times the money, and you know they put 95 back then. Now it's 100,000 fans in Kyle Field, and Oklahoma State had great success against them when they were in the Big 12. So there's nothing bad about beating A&M, but I'm watching that game in the Texas Bowl. I honestly don't even know the name of the bowl. And you're like, they got a fourth-string quarterback. They got three scholarship wide receivers. One gets hurt early. And you're like this is it's not a football. It's an embarrassment if you lose and most of your guys play. It doesn't give you any sort of sense of the season of sport. And I understand A&M's season was an abject disaster. Coach got fired. It would have been bad no matter if there was NIL, no NIL, was portal, wasn't portal, your coach gets fired. But it wasn't that much fun.
Sure. I love the Bulls. You and I have had Bulls discussions for years. I have not cared one iota. No. Like, it is. Even Friday.
Do people bet on this thing?
I have no
how
idea.
How do you bet? Because the reason they still exist is because people bet on them.
Yes.
How do you bet when you have no idea
I don't know.
Who's playing?
And it's funny, too, because actually, you know, Brett mentioned the Bulls being moved to the beginning of the season. Like, the Bulls that I think that are going to be hurt the most if they end up going away and trimming it down would be like a ReliaQuest Bowl, which was formerly the Outback Bowl. I just don't see these teams that miss out on the playoffs wanting to play in these bowl games. Like, I can understand some group of five squads, you know, maybe some up and coming programs playing in lesser bowls, but I just, yeah, it just to me is not sustainable. You've got to figure out a different way to do it.
Well, I mean, ESPN owns most of them, so who knows what's going to happen there if they're going to continue on. I would guess that in the next NIL contracts, it'll be, you know, there'll be backloaded sort of deals, and they're already backloaded to be even more backloaded. But I don't know what that does to players. I mean, the whole thing is fascinating and infuriating all at the same time. But the other parts of the bowl game, which people don't really realize, is it's a fundraiser. It's a recruiting tool, right? The reason they have all these bowl games in Texas and schools like playing them is their alums are there, but also that's where the players are, and they can have open practices and recruit, you know, same thing with the bowls in Florida, and half the teams end their season with a win, which makes you feel good. And a lot of that is kind of eliminated. The vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The show is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS. I'm Doug Gottlieb. He's Dan Beyer. We're in for Dan. The Danettes, the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. How concerned should you be if you're a Dolphins fan right now? We'll discuss next.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the...
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Peacock app.
It's Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. Welcome in. Dan Beyer. I'm Doug Gottlieb. And for Dan and the Danettes today. So, remember the team that scored 70 points and the one with Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa? Now they're on Hard Knocks the middle of the year, which is actually really, really entertaining. Kind of feels like they're a mess. But, I mean, like, listen, we're talking about lots of teams that are a mess, Dan Beyer. This was Jim Harbaugh. Of course, team laid 63 on the Dolphins. summing up the win.
I'm not sure I've seen a more impressive performance in a season up to date. And obviously, we have a lot more to do. We got a lot of work to do in front of us. But it's a mature football team, and they understand that. And they understand week to week that it's a one-week challenge. And I just think the way they've approached every single game this year, from the beginning on through, adversity, travel, quality of opponents we've had to play, to step up and play the way they had and put an exclamation point on it, triple exclamation points on it with a performance like this. It says about who they are, and I just have so much respect for them.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh should be happy.
Yeah, I mean, this team was awesome.
Yeah, and also, when you look at what their week was, short week, cross-country, after the 49ers, like that's the hat trick right there. There was that whole narrative last year on how teams played after they played San Francisco. Remember, like nobody won a game the week after you played the 49ers. So not only did the Ravens play the 49ers, they beat them in their yard and had to travel cross country on a short week. That game was Christmas night. So it's a Monday night and they come back and they play like that. And the Dolphins just had the shorter trip from Miami to Baltimore and an extra day of rest and to be able to prepare. I mean, jeez, my goodness.
The Tua thing is fascinating, though, right? I mean, obviously didn't play well yesterday. Not the only reason that they got mollywhomped, but threw a couple of picks. And remember, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. They got to figure out what they want to do with Tua. And everyone said he's a great fit for how they're playing. And then there's conversation over, is he just a good fit for how they're playing? And this thing could go bad in a hurry, especially now that you're losing defensive players to injury.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was funny when we were talking with Charles Robinson a little bit earlier, and he just pointed out the success against a Vic Fangio defense. I think that's more of, more of the problem. I would be shocked if they moved on from Tua in any sense. I believe that he's not only their quarterback, he's their quarterback of the future. I believe that they can make it, that they believe that they can, go to great places with him as their quarterback. But it's just, I don't think it's, I mean, you need something from your defense. You can't be giving up 60 burgers. I mean, just, it's not going to happen. Can't do it.
No, it's not. I mean, you can't. And it's interesting, right? This is the team that had the Broncos gave up 72. Speaking of Vic Fangio, this his former team, with a defense that he built a couple years ago. But
there was something else. Yeah, there was something else with yesterday. Remember last year when they played, and the Dolphins came back and had the crazy comeback. Like I think that Baltimore remembered that. Like we aren't gonna have this crazy Dolphins comeback anymore. We're going to beat them 56-19. That's what it's going to be. We're not going to watch them score, 28 unanswered or whatever it was. And they laid the hammer down. And yeah, a statement. And that was a statement game for both. Like there was a lot at play for Miami. And even though you don't have Raheem Mostert, he was not the difference in the game, or no Jalen Waddle. But even at full strength, Miami doesn't win that game yesterday.
You know what's interesting is we've gone through so many different games and topics. We haven't brought up can you believe the Rams are 9-7? Like we were all at Rams camp and they didn't really know what they had. Right?
Correct.
If you asked them like, yeah, I don't really know. Talking about Stafford last year retiring, now you have two star wide receivers, but their ability to find a way to put things together has been, again, and you have to, when you put these shows together, Dan, as you know, and I think people, like, what do most people care about, talk about? And we'll circle back to what happened in Dallas over the weekend, what happened in Philadelphia over the weekend, how it has affected the Niners getting home field advantage and having a couple weeks off to stay rested and healthy and all those other things. But I cannot undersell how impressed I am by what the Rams have been able to do this season with that roster.
So good.
One of the impressive, selling us something. I did too. I was like, come on, man. Like, let's just be honest. You can win four or five games. With Dan Byer, I'm Doug Gottlieb. It's the Dan Patrick Show. Who's the biggest threat to the Niners? We'll discuss next on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.